Yo, 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 what up? It's your boy, Kobe Mack, and this is the Epic Film Guys Podcast.
Buddy.
I gotta start. I only have 25 pound hand weights here, and I can't really afford to buy more weights, which kind of sucks.
Like, dude, have you looked at like Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace? Because you might be able to find some cheap ass shit locally. That's what I did.
I probably would, but I got to other prioritize.
Yeah, I need more weights. The wife was telling me, I think it was yesterday, I was doing chest in our living room, so I use two ottomans as a bench when I'm doing dumbbell presses. And I was like, I need more weights. And she's like, no, I'm just gonna press down on them onto your chest. I'm like, no, I'm just gonna try to fucking kill me. No, we're not doing that. But I was thinking about getting some more, but they're still sold out. Like, free weights, like just plates, are still sold out everywhere.
That's the dumb thing is it's, and it's like manufacturers of that kind of stuff never expect a rush on that kind of stuff. Same thing for me. Like, I made a monstrous load of marinara sauce today, and I didn't have enough ball jars. So I was like, okay, well, I had to take Kenord to work because he works at the Weiss down here in West Corners now. And I was like, okay,
oh, that's nice.
I'm going to go drop him off at work. I'll just stop and I'll just pick up some ball jars. Cleaned out, dude. They're cleaned out of ball jars except for the little jelly jars. So I bought a pack of them because I just needed something to put them in. And it didn't even fit half of the sauce, so I had to, like, transfer stuff onto stuff, and I put most of it in, like, a big bowl that now I've got to find uses for it before it goes bad in the big bowl. Like, it's...
Is it weird that stuff when that you people said clean sauce... Out. Is it weird that when you said sauce, I imagined you pouring soy sauce into a bowl?
Bitch, never get enough of my stuff.
That guy? Wait, that's not him. Wait a minute. Where is he? Hang on.
Bitches can't get enough of my stuff.
There it is. Even though the line's wrong, he does the line wrong.
Bitches never get enough of my stuff.
Bitches can't get enough of my stuff.
It's supposed to be never get enough of my stuff.
Oh, well.
But I suppose he's our god of podcasting, and we cannot fault him for his foibles. The god of podcasting, ladies and gentlemen, is not joining us this eve. He is under the weather. He had a rash and an infection or something.
Well,
he's a wounded boy.
Yeah, he's wounded. He's going through some stuff physically. From what he's told me so far, it's nothing
and
virus
sexually
related. Just, you know, he had like some kind of rash. He broke out and it was very painful. He went to the doctor and he's on an antibiotic. So he's recovering. He did want to be here. He did state that he watched Cobra in preparation. It's a film that I've watched with him personally a number of times. Not that we need to prep for this kind of thing, but he was ready to go and just said he wasn't feeling like he could give his all tonight for the episode. So he'd rather not, you know, not be a part of something he knew he couldn't be all 100% for. So we'll be thinking of you, buddy. We'll miss you. But
now you're gonna die.
What? The show rude. Will go on.
I feel
as
really
always.
Sad because he can't be here to hear his brand new sound drop, which was sent to me by Hendo from the Movie Journey podcast. He's like, dude, what you should use this clip for whenever you talk about loy sauce, because now we call him D'Artagnan.
That is the most amazing thing I have ever heard.
It's from Django Unchained, if nobody knows what it's from, but yeah, it's like, wait, no, it's not doing anything. Do it.
Did you break it?
I probably broke
you
it.
You broke it.
Well, Dan still works.
You know, I gotta throw Dan some props.
I love it.
Dan has been doing like on Saturday nights, he's got like this thing now. It's like an unspoken, you know, kind of week activity.
It's not unspoken because they definitely speak about it every week.
Oh, well, where he comes in and comments in the group and what are we watching?
Oh, yeah. But no, I mean, yeah, they've been doing that that B-movie Saturday thing, at least for a little while. He and the Bubby have been.
Well, I mean, specifically in our specifically in the group.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a newer thing.
Not their fan group, but our fan group. They've been doing it, and because I usually will do like a what are you watching thing here and there periodically on the main page or whatever. But it's been a nice activity. I had to message him because I deleted it by accident. Someone was trying to spam the group with something, and I clicked the wrong thing and deleted it. And I was like, oh shit!
Was it the mysterious Justin Esquivel character who has no friends and no picture Facebook anything?
That's deleted now. But he
votes somehow, on everything you vote on. He loves you.
That was a duplicate account somehow that got connected to my account. I have no idea
happened. Here's what I think happened. I think your ego grew so large from you staring in the mirror and flexing that it spawned its own Facebook account and joined Facebook to follow you. That's what I think happened.
Dude. Like, I legit tried to log into the browser on my phone, like Facebook on there, and for some reason it just logged me in through my email. So I was on there under that, not under my actual account. So I was liking shit as the other thing, and I didn't even realize it wasn't my account. Because if you have a Gmail or a Google account or whatever, you can automatically log in, apparently.
Is this the beginnings of like a Fight Club type situation, and this is like your Tyler Durden?
Whatever, man. But there's no additional posts necessary in our fan group about if this is a real person or has gone.
I'm going to spam every time I see him. However, I see him rear his head.
I do want to get rid of my middle name on my Facebook, and Facebook won't let me now. So I've changed my name too many times, apparently.
That happened to me too. Like, I can't change my name on Facebook anymore either because I changed. And I haven't tried in years and years and years, like shit, probably 8 or 9 years now. But yeah, I used to change it like all the time back when I first got Facebook. Like, I would make it literally anything all the time. And yeah, eventually they reached some point where they were like, no, you can't do this anymore.
Yep.
And I'm mad about it. I want to do it, goddamn it.
See, I wanted to confuse you all even further, because if I got rid of the William, then there would be nothing in between the two different names. It'd be the same exact name. So people are like, wait, what is the real account? Which one is the real Justin Esquivel?
I think the real one all the time has been the one with no picture and no friends, and that's the one I think is the real one.
Yeah, that's probably true. Maybe I get schizophrenic and under certain circumstances I'm not really thinking, and I'm using that account, and I don't know, maybe that's the account I use to go troll people. No, wait, that's not true. I troll people on my normal account all day long. So
maybe you just want to troll people so badly that you just, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
You know, sometimes I have to refrain from trolling. I think about it sometimes. Because I hate trolling,
online
trolls.
The people that they continue to troll me because nothing. I mean, I've never seen any of these canon movies, so I have no idea the quality of any of them or not. But you and the sauce get in there, whip people into a frenzy, and every movie that you guys want to win ends up winning. So what one? What movie is going to win?
Well, Avenging Force won.
What the fuck is Avenging Force?
It's a Michael Dudikoff movie.
What the fuck is? Who is Michael Dudikoff?
Michael Dudikoff is. He was the. I would say. Canon's unspoken action hero. He was the guy that they found that they didn't put really much stake into, they didn't put much money into, who was a really good charismatic action hero, very good martial artist, and he's really good in all of the canon movies that he does. Avenging Force is definitely not his best, but it is one that I enjoy. I know you're not a fan of Chuck Norris, so you'll be happy to hear he's definitely more charismatic and better looking and all of the above than Chuck Norris.
Here, I'm going to hold up associated objects in my reach that are more charismatic than Chuck Norris. Here, my heartburn pills. Hand sanitizer. This shaker cup with the doc's face.
Yeah, but you
on
know,
it.
but none of those things have nearly as many this amazing mouse memes about them as Chuck Norris does. So, I mean, I'm a fan of Chuck Norris. as an 80s action hero, I like what he does in those movies. He's perfectly fine, Nick.
Do you know what the problem I think is with Chuck Norris? And people made the memes, and the memes were funny, like back in like that's like early 2000s. Like that was ages and ages and ages ago, especially in internet years. But what I think that the problem is I think Chuck Norris himself started to believe them, and like he started acting like that, like accordingly. Because like I politically, he's just said things that like just make him a I mean, I was never a fan of him before, so he slipped down that short slope into fuck off and die territory for me.
See, you know that I always separate the two things: person on the screen, person in real life. So none of that shit matters to me at all. I can only imagine what you're talking about, but hey. Whatever, hey. It's Chuck Norris. Hey. We gotta bring Fonzie on the fucking show. You know what? It's a weird thing. I've actually been like, I don't know if you ever watched this show growing up, but I grew up watching Happy Days. And I've, for some reason lately, been very nostalgic for that show.
How did you grow up watching Happy Days? Because I didn't grow up watching Happy Days. But then again, I am older than you, so maybe... Like, didn't it used to rerun in, like, the late 80s or something, or early 90s?
Well, no, I watched it on TV Land when TV Land came on cable.
Yeah, see, I was born too late for it, and then I never ever went back.
Yeah, I was born too late for, well, I was born when it was still kind of on, and then it went off. But when TV Land came out, they started doing tons of reruns, and then I started watching them on my own.
Oh, okay.
But, no, it just... Again, this is really weird stuff to bring up, but I've been watching these interviews with Henry Winkler and, you know, Ron Howard and all the people that were involved, and it's talking about how that show came to fruition and how, you know, basically it was a gigantic success and whatever. And things like that don't happen anymore. Like shows like Happy Days, where they're like a, you know, gargantuan success where the dude can't even walk down the street. I mean, that's like everything, but the show itself being such a cultural phenomenon, you just don't have that anymore. It's not a thing. It's like everything is trying to be that, and nothing can ever live up to that in a way, you know?
Unless it's just the Tiger King.
Well, I fucking love Tiger King, and I've actually, you know, I've had to argue with people about Tiger King. I've had some people misunderstand what Tiger King is trying to be and what it actually is. And like, I don't know, like you have to look at things at face value and you have to watch something for what it actually is on paper. People are like, but it's not about the tigers. I'm like, listen, it's never been about the fucking tigers. This isn't Blackfish 2.0 or Loving Bananas. It's not an animal rights piece. It's about how crazy that motherfucker with the mullet is in comparison to that motherfucker over there who has like 5 wives and bangs like 3 dudes a night. Like, it's insanity. True crime, scandal. It's exactly what we needed right now to keep our minds off of, you know, the nonsense that's going outside. That's it.
Probably.
I loved it. I loved the show. I'd watch it again. Unfortunately, Netflix was stupid and we're instead of doing another episode with actual content, we're going to get Joel McHale, who's like the most annoying motherfucker on the planet. Yeah,
they did some kind of stupid after show.
Yeah, I watched it. David Spade's actually been doing that already. Like a week and a half ago, David Spade for his show. Since, you know, he's not recording in his studio, he did the same thing. He, you know, Skype called every major person that was a part of the documentary and interviewed them. And they were way better interviews than you as an editor. If you did watch the episode they did with Joel McHale, be like, wow, dude, they really did a bad editing job. Like you could tell how badly and choppy the editing was.
It's a very surreal thing with the whole corona situation, because essentially, and you know, especially if you listen to major productions, like major podcast productions, they go to studios, they go to recording studios to record those. Like I listen to Office Ladies, you know, who, you know, we came so close, I'm sure, to beating in that best TV and movie podcast.
I still say we beat them, and you know, they
I still say we won because we even placed even remotely close. But nonetheless, like them, and there's like other like major like podcasts, like fuck, even like the Howard Stern show, like they're doing it remotely, and it's funny to listen to it because they're all doing like Skype calls and shit, like.
Yeah, didn't Howard just interview like Paul McCartney or something via Skype or something?
He interviewed Tom Brady. I know that, but I don't know if he might have interviewed McCartney too. I have no idea. I don't pay 100% attention. I only watch like clips of the show when it comes over on YouTube and stuff. But like, it's funny because like we've been double ending our podcast for like 5 years. Like we've been doing it this way for ages and ages and ages now. And our quality has reached a point where like, I feel like our quality is really, really, really great. And like, they're all scrambling to try to get their own setups, like to be able to produce content. So they're releasing like, not all of them are anymore. I think Howard Stern, I think he got like a mic set up and like a whole bunch of audio gear set up in his house and stuff now. So I'm pretty sure it's better now. I haven't watched any clips of it lately, but like, it was all sounding like first month podcasting kind of stuff
from major
podcasters. Like,
it sounds like they're recording the audio on their phones like via Skype,
it was kind of a surreal moment, like where we're in this position and like other shows like us that do double
we sound better than y'all, motherfucker.
Yeah, where we sound better, like we have a better produced, you know, quality product.
Imagine that.
I mean, it's just surreal. I mean, obviously, like once they get their whole setups in place, they've got producers and stuff that they can send it to and they can do their full time magic to and whatever, you know. So obviously that's only a temporary thing if it's not already replicated or, you know, rectified. But I just thought it was funny, like listening to some of those things, because like Howard Stern did it where they were on like a Skype call, like they had like Jimmy Kimmel was on it and like Robin was on it, and then they had fucking god, like,
no, I've been watching a lot of those
characters.
I mean,
and shit that they have on that show, it's just hilarious. Like Benji's lying in a bed and he can't fucking hold the phone straight, so shooting like the top of his fucking head, and it's like, have you people ever even held a phone before? Have you people ever even fucking like shot video of yourself before or anything? Like, oh god, it's, oh man, just the weirdest, most surreal things. But you know what? I'm happy for these people though, because they're finding ways to continue to produce content.
Exactly what I was just about to say. Yeah.
For people to listen to. And it's anything that anybody can do to be a distraction, I feel is the best possible thing that they can do. Give people content. Give people those kinds of things, you know?
And that's why I'm ignoring the fucking lump in my throat tonight. That's making me feel like I have to throw up, and I'm gonna push it down with vodka and sodas.
Don't worry, guys. I'll shit all over Cobra, and then he'll vomit it all over the computer screen, and then you'll never hear from him again because he'll quit.
No, I will quit if you should. No, you know what? You know what? Here's the thing. I told Saucy, listen, I know that you're not feeling well, but you need to get on here because I already know that you like this movie. You know how much I love this movie. Those of our listeners that have listened to our top five Sly Stallone flicks episode, they know all about how I feel about this movie. So it's, I was like, yo, dude, get on here. But we're all about giving you the content. We're all about just being here. And honestly, this is like my weekly therapy session. Like, who the fuck That's else right. am I talking to or hanging out with or whatever? I know you're super deep into the podcasting world, so you're always chatting on Twitter with people, and you're you know, you're getting prepped for the live stream for The Cure and everything. So you're still always active. But dude, I'm not talking to anybody.
Social media is finally done. Everybody's scheduled. I went through like a power, and I mean an absolute power session of just flurry after flurry after flurry of tweets to get everybody absolutely scheduled. So now really I've got to get merch set up. You sent me the image. I just haven't had a chance to download it in the drive yet. That'll be tomorrow. But from here, it's basically just spread awareness, just push the event as hard. And if you're you know, you're listening to this, you're a podcaster, you want the promo link, you can find it in the show notes, or you can find it on Twitter, or you can hit me up and I'll send it to you, whichever the case may be. And if you have a promo and you want us to play it in return, please send me your audio promo. We'll spin it on the show. We'll be absolutely thrilled to do so. But all shows are in place, all segments are locked, everything is finalized. It's all now just a matter of push the event, and then we'll get it out there. And you know, I was very frank about it with all of the podcast partners, and I'll be frank with it about it with our listeners. We got another donation, by the way. We got like a $28 and change donation from an anonymous donor, so thank you, anonymous donor. I don't know who you were, but we're at $131 in early donations now, which is amazing. I don't know if we're going to hit our goal this year. We may not, but you know what, if we don't, I don't care, because for me, especially this year more than any other year. Like, it's always a super important thing to me to bring the community together, to have that sense of togetherness, to have that sense of community, and, you know, do something great for a great cause. This year, more than anything, I think it's important to bring the community together because people are looking for that distraction, like we've talked about. People are looking for that thing to do, and this is a way for people to keep busy working on stuff and doing stuff, planning for the event and everything. And it's a welcome distraction for listeners, for people to tune in and just tune out the world and not worry about things for a few days and just enjoy podcasters from around the world, content creators from around the world, just doing whatever we can to entertain you and to make difference.
Even knowing, like, even if you want to pop in here and there during the weekend when you have time or whatever, in between watching your show with your wife or playing with your kids in your yard or whatever, come hop on and just, you know, have a few beers and enjoy with the content that we're giving you guys. You know, like, my view on the whole thing, I'm being completely frank, as honest as I possibly fucking can, you know, my main worry and concern is just that we all have fun and we all get to enjoy ourselves.
That's the only thing that's important.
And the content, whatever donations we get are gravely appreciated because we understand the current situation. I keep seeing day in and day out more and more of my friends that had a job a week ago or 2 weeks ago or even 5 days ago, and now they don't. You know what I mean? Our own Loy Sauce doesn't have a job. You and I are both lucky. I don't know how long mine's going to go for. Anything could happen, you know. So we totally get
That's where I know I'm very fortunate that I will never be in that position. So I've always, I mean, like, just, yeah, there was a bad storm up here yesterday, and fortunately it turned out that the system held up and that there weren't a lot of outages. They didn't have any issues or anything, but I could have had to go into the office today to take emergency calls because it was a really bad storm. Like, we had a lot of people without power and whatnot. Like, no matter what, I know I'm fortunate to be in that position where I'm a utility employee. Like, I'm always going to have a job, you know, I mean, unless I quit it or, you know, I get fired or something, but, you know, I will always have a job in that regard. So I feel lucky in that regard, and I feel very fortunate. But, you know, it's just, yeah, that you're exactly right. It's whatever we raise is great. It's amazing. And it's going to be for a good cause. And we're going to be back again next year and the year after that, raising money for the Cancer Research Institute. Like, it's something that's just a staple of the Epic Film Guys now, every single May, raising money for the Cancer Research Institute. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling, and it's an amazing thing to be a part of and to do. But, you know, this year, the most important thing is to entertain you guys, to be there for you guys, and, you know, to do whatever we can, you know, because it's the same reason why this pre-roll that you're listening to, if you're not normally a patron of the show, that's why we're publishing it to the main feed right now. So you just get something more to download in your podcatcher, something more to listen to if we make you laugh, if we make you, well, me talking about movies that you love probably makes you cry most of the time. But, you know, whatever the case may be, if you talk about Loy Sauce, or if you look at photos of Loy Sauce without a shirt on, and then, you know, you get all wet in the pants and you got to change yourself, like, we understand, and we're happy to provide that.
We got to use this as part of our marketing tools in some way, shape, or form. I realize we got something super special here that we didn't realize we had before. Now, you know what? We don't need hopesters. We don't need drunk hobo hipster motherfuckers. We don't need, well, we're not going to talk about the other guy, but we have something special for you guys, you know, shirtless gods of podcasting.
Pack them in real good and tight.
Put that into a shirt. Pack them into,
there you go.
I mean, pants. Can we just get him like a pair of short shorts, like a pair of booty shorts? And
that can be the shirt that your uncle and your granddad are going to wear on the beach when they go to Myrtle fucking Beach and they buy a case of Miller Lite, you know, like, that's,
bitches can't get enough of my stuff.
We can't make this shit up. We can't make, it's literally, it's perfect. It's real. And we're glad you're enjoying it. Like, I realized, I mentioned to you the other day that, you know, we're giving out this free content, our pre-roll stuff, and it seems like people are enjoying us just hanging out talking just as much as they are our main,
the breeze.
Yeah, man. So that's awesome. And we appreciate that very much. And we hope that you're enjoying hanging out with us. I know that, you know, returning the favor would be great. We'd love to hang out with you guys as well in person. It's really a tough time right now. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of people posting, even visiting their families, and they're standing like 10, 12 feet away as they take a selfie and
we'll be able to offer them a little bit more something probably next week, if not next week, the week after. But EFG Live is going to come back. the thing that Justin loves it more than anything in the world. Loves it. Absolutely loves it. But it's time to start prepping and getting everything ready for live stream for the cure, doing stress tests, making sure that all the systems are firing, making sure everything's in place to be able to run the event and to be able to, you know, do the event the way that we want to. And part of that is doing EFG live every week. And, you know, we'll be broadcasting over on the Twitch channel, which I've been super active on. I've been playing Minecraft. I've been singing for no reason. Whatever. I've just been hanging out a lot on the Twitch channel, just being out there just to hang out and just to try to just put something good out there. It's good for me. It's therapeutic for me to just not be sitting here and stewing in my own thoughts. It's really good for me to be putting that out there. And it's really, really good, you know, to kind of be in that position where, you know, people are tuning in and people want to see what's going on and people want to hang out. So EFG Live. So this is your official, and there'll be an announcement over in the Hopester Dumpster, over in the fan group and on Twitter and everything. Most likely next week, if for whatever reason we can't get it firing next week, then definitely the week after, EFG Live will be returning to a Twitch channel near you, an EFG Twitch channel, I should say, near you. So make sure you get prepared and everything. And that means it'll be reposted. The video will be reposted over to the YouTube channel and everything, which is something that we really got to start doing more with. We really, really have to. Just one of those things that is just, God, don't you wish you just don't, like,
I just want, you know, want. Here's the thing.
Here's what we want, ladies and gentlemen.
You tell them what you want, and I'll tell you what I want.
No, here's what we got to do. Like, all of a sudden, we've got to, because we're still producing content, we've got to explode in popularity enough that we get paid enough to quit our normal jobs and do nothing but produce content. That's what's got to happen. So
what I want, what
show
I want
pictures
is
of Loy Sauce to everybody that you know. Why wouldn't they tune in? Look at him.
No, I know. I tried to make a graphic for Easter. Listen,
bitches can't get enough of my stuff.
I had a graphic that I made with a basket of Easter eggs that had fallen over under the grass, and it was just his face, his shirtless, like the face from the shirtless photo. I was gonna post it. I'm like, you know, I debated on it. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it right now. And then later on, I almost did because I was drunk enough. Because Easter, I definitely drank enough. I drank enough over the weekend overall. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Was it enough of your stuff?
It was enough of my stuff to have to go buy more of the stuff at the liquor store.
I haven't been to the liquor store in a couple weeks.
It's funny because the liquor store has tape lines where you need to stand. Like, it's not specified how far away, but it's just, you know, here's the line and here's the next line. Stand behind this guy this far away. And when the guy checks my ID and I'm wearing a fucking N95 mask, it's pretty funny. I don't know. Like, do you need me to, you know, take this thing on? Just nods his head. No, here you go. It's a really weird feeling.
I mean, at least you're still getting all that booze.
Well, the reason why I went over the weekend, actually, aside from the fact that I already went through my last bottle of Tito's, was that apparently the ABC stores, which is like where you get all your liquor down here, there's not like mom and pop liquor stores like they are back home. Most of them are closing because they're deemed non-essential. So in your area, if your ABC store, there's like a certain number of them have to be closed. So I was like, fuck, dude, I'm going to drink what's left in the freezer and I'm going to go get some more. You know, whatever.
That's when you go buy a case of Tito's.
I mean,
now you could do I do and make flavors with the shit.
I don't. I'm too boring, dude. I know you're the flavor guy. You're the guy that likes food, and I'm the guy that's like, I'll drink the same shit every day and eat the same shit every day. I don't need that variation in life to be happy.
I do love food. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll mention it in the main show as well, so you'll hear it in the other episode as well. But the restaurant technically is coming back, but it's not going to be the restaurant anymore. I've already changed the name of it. I haven't decided if I should keep the Mister or not. It goes back to a nickname I had when I was in high school. That's why I put the Mister in there. But I wanted to do either Nikolai's Kitchen or Mr. Nikolai's Kitchen. Like, Mr. Nikolai was a nickname I had, like, in school and everything.
Dude, definitely put the Mister in there. Definitely if the that's Mister. A nickname that you had, I say go with it.
So
dude,
it's coming back. It's going to be different. I'm not going to do restaurant reviews anymore, and I'm not going to do negativity anymore. Like, kind of the whole idea, like, Justin Winters, you know, our good buddy, Shock Top, whatever you want to call him, from Sorry to Movie Geek. you know, like his original impetus for the show, like when he was like, dude, you should do this, was for me to rant and rave about chain restaurants, which we know I hate, you know. And as restaurant kind of went on, like, number one, it became prohibitively expensive to go out and eat all the time like that, just to review a restaurant for the show. And then I was like not in the best health, and then I'm going to chain restaurants, which serve literal trash on plates. And that was even more detrimental for my health. You know, that was the initial impetus for the show, was for me to rant about chain restaurants and stuff. And it transformed more into a show about my own cooking and about my experiences in the kitchen versus restaurant reviews. And now I'm going to bring it back. When I bring it back, restaurant reviews are completely gone. I'm not doing any of that shit anymore. It's going to be all positive things, all positive energy, all about me, all about my weight loss journey. You know, this is all about like the food I've been eating because of my diet and the food that I've been eating because of my budget, because I have literally no food budget. So I have to get really, really creative whenever I eat, like the literal metric ton of fucking marinara sauce I made today, just because Wegmans had like a few big cans of San Marzano tomatoes and I just fucking scooped them. I just scooped them. They were $12 a piece. I was like, I don't care. I'm grabbing these. And I made an ocean of marinara sauce. I will not need marinara sauce for like months now, which is glorious because I can make all sorts of stuff with it. I'm going to make homemade lasagna. I'm going to make homemade pasta sheets, make that stuff up. But yeah, so probably not until after live stream for the cure. Summer, June at the earliest. June at the earliest. But yeah, I'm workshopping different things right now, but it's all going to be positivity and food and my journey and you know, just all about my cooking and my experiences in the kitchen, because I love food. I love, love, love food, and I love talking about it. I love, like, just connecting to people over food. It's a very, very strong thing about me. Like the way that I connect to people with movies, it's like the same thing. Like I have that same passion I have for movies for food, and I just really,
it's,
really
it's the
miss
exact
doing
same
it.
Thing, dude. No, it totally, and it's great that you're doing that. It's the same thing that I feel when I connect to people that love, you know, the gym and fitness and the fitness lifestyle of eating and all that as much as I do, which unfortunately I don't have anyone down here, you know, that agrees with that. Or
what about
necessarily,
Loisa? Oh, never mind.
He's a good
boy. I think he lifted
a
weight to move it out of his way once, probably.
But,
right?
But you know, I mean, like it's hard, but it's great when you do have people that care about something you're passionate about and you're part of a small community that can become a bigger community. Totally agree with you, man. And I love good food. I just know that for me, I can't have that stuff and do both, which some people are able to do, which is a great thing if you're able to do that. So I'm glad you're doing that because you have a passion for that. And especially right now, people need that more than anything else. Also, removing the restaurant part of it is probably the best idea ever, considering even though they're like doing takeout only.
Well, yeah, it's not even really an option at this point anyway.
I think, you know, part of the restaurant experience, as you are very aware of and you agree with me, I'm sure, is going to the restaurant. Oh, yeah. The ambiance, the decor, the feel, the service, everything about it is part of that restaurant experience. You can't do that right now. So it's, there's not even a point. So
that's definitely happening. Like I said, probably I'm not going to really try to, like, unless all of a sudden I have like a wave of free time and I just decide to on a whim or whatever, who knows what's going to happen. But most likely scenario that I won't get around to it until probably June at the earliest. I'll do it in seasons. Like I used to do restaurant. I'll do seasons of a block of episodes and then I'll take a break from it and then do another season, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it was really, really fun to do. I still have the food community that show spawned, that I still, you know, hang out in. People still post what they're cooking, what they're eating and everything like that. So I'm really, really excited to bring that back. I'm really, really excited to do that. And plus, you know, I mean, you know me, like our listeners might not know it because they're not friends with me on Facebook, but like I'm a very positive guy. Like I like to put positive energy and positivity out into the world. And that's a really
good outlet for regarding shitty movies.
But even.
Yes.
I would defend and say that I don't shit on movies just to shit on them. I do it for entertainment value as well. There's definitely a lot of hyperbole in what I do. Nobody would pretend that this is not the case, you know, unless we're talking about a movie like The Karate Kid or like David, the producer, brought up The Goonies on his Facebook page earlier today, which also fucking sucks.
Hey, Nick, last Thursday, I bought The Karate Kid on 4K Ultra HD.
I bet you did.
I did, and then I watched it on my OLED in fucking Dolby Vision with Dolby at fucking most on my lunch break on Friday. I legit did. You can ask the wife. I'll bring her out here right now. It's the truth. And I was like, you know what? This movie rules. And Nick sucks.
So yeah, so now, you know, it's I'm a very positive guy. I like putting positive energy out in the world, especially now that the world needs it more kind of than ever, really. So it's really fun. It's really, really good thing, you know, so I'm really, really happy to be bringing it back, thinking about bringing it back, workshopping it, kind of wrapping my head around it and thinking about it. And, you know, I'm getting back into that headspace because I really, really do miss it. So, yeah, it's definitely happening. Hashtag anything, canon quarantine is definitely happening too.
Yeah, anything to keep our minds off of what's going outside and keep our minds on what's going inside, ourselves, our friends, our families, the people we care about. Just staying positive. That's literally what I think a lot of people are missing the point. I get that it's hard. It's very hard for me. I've been having an extremely hard time focusing at times. But think of the positives, not the negatives. You could still drink at your house. You can still watch movies, listen to music. You can still work out. You can still walk outside. You know, life doesn't totally suck. And you have the Epic Film Guys podcast to listen to whenever you want. And we have a large, large, large library.
Large.
Of stuff to listen to. I had someone actually reach out to me on Instagram recently. Said they loved our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 30th anniversary retrospective. And said, I'm starting with this. And I was like, well, I'm glad you enjoyed that. We have a large library of stuff. Seriously, search it.
I hope they hate the fucking there. Baby rat puppet too.
No, actually, again, more people have come out to defend me.
No, see, again, so they will not at me. I run the Twitter at Epic Film Guys. At me all you want. At me all you want. But everybody goes to Justin and complains about me. They're like, Nick's a jerk. He doesn't like the baby rat.
They just want to compliment me on how I defend it and how great I am about because of it.
How great you are because of it.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. Jesus Christ. It's getting deep, ladies.
I'm getting all red in the face. I'm blushing for my own compliments.
Bitches can't get enough of my stuff.
Exactly. Bitches never get enough of his stuff.
Yeah.
All we have to do if we want to center ourselves is we just bring it back to the sauce.
Bitches can't get enough of my stuff.
Mm. Poor boy. I hope he's not.
Feel better, Loy Sauce. We love you.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing, but
we miss you. We will pet you. I will shit on Cobra doubly because you're not here to defend it with Justin. He's going to be in a corner crying by the end of it. It's going to be a good time. Now he's kind of got this look on his face where he's like, he doesn't know if I'm serious or not. I think he's concerned. He's concerned that he might have to quit the podcast after tonight.
No, Nick, because I'll just say you have the right to remain silent before I pour gasoline on you and throw a match at you. And then you'll be burned to a crisp.
Bitches never get enough of my stuff.
You believe in Jesus?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're going to meet him.
Can't believe we've been doing this canon quarantine thing for this long and we haven't gotten a Bronson film in there yet, but we will. We're definitely doing Death Wish 3 as part of it. We have to do Death Wish 3 as part of it.
Absolutely. I mean,
I already said if it comes up in the random picker, I'm not even putting up another poll option. I'm just going to put up Death Wish 3 four times because it's going to win.
I mean, I got into canon films based on Bronson movies, basically. That's how I mean, aside from growing up with a lot of the movies that we've already talked about, whatever, but me as an adult really getting into them and getting into the whole lore and history and backstory of canon films was the Bronson stuff, because you'd have to custom order it and it'd be out of print, whatever. And it just reminded me of that intro, that opening with that logo. And I was like, yeah, there's this thing about this that makes you want to go dig even deeper and kind of go back in time. And yeah, dude, I'm telling you, the history of canon's so amazing. It's one of the most interesting things about any film studio that's ever been part of Hollywood in any way. I'm just happy and excited. I'm just happy and excited that we're doing this series right now.
Bitches
and I think
can't
that means
get
I
enough of my stuff.
Need another drink, I think. Yeah, probably.
I like that you did that little start-stop thing in there, because this is the pre-roll, like I edit this shit.
I know. Well, it's just natural. It's a natural thing. Natural rhythm. Give her natural beats.
People were really enjoying the laugh track. I did get positive feedback on the laugh track. People were having a good time with the laugh track. I think I convinced Randy from Israel Retail Slave that he needs to set up a laugh track on his own show. I feel like that'll go to his head, though, because then he'll hit it every time he says a joke. Admit it, Randy. You will. Admit it. I know you're listening to this right now. Now you're going to Twitter. Now you're going to Twitter to angrily twit at me. Don't do it. Or tit, as Justin calls it.
I like to,
We go back and forth. Justin's like, here, put this on the titter. And then I always reply back, hee hee hee, tit.
It should have been named titter from the start.
Man.
What are you, fucking Tweety Birds over there? Fuck Twitter. I'll never, well...
This week in epic film history.
It actually reminds me a lot of like Kung Fury, that title card. Yeah.
I just fucking said that, you git.
Oh, did you? Sorry, yeah. Sorry, I was looking at Penguins playoff shit.
I guess that's kind of my payback for not paying attention to you for most of your time talking about Fate of the Furious.
When Penguins playoff shit is online, I turn off the rest of my brain and just focus on that. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I'm back! Puke and rally!
Woo!
Give me a beer!
In the world of Endicott, New York and Harnden, Virginia, two whippets.
In the world of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Oil City, Pennsylvania.
Come to Netflix and
two Swill Bros dissect the latest movie trailers in a segment we like to call
Downstream.
Downstream.
I hope you enjoy editing all of this, you fuck.
I am your host, Epic Film Guy Nick.
And I am Justin, and I am also an Epic Film Guy.
Wait. Holy shit, I'm not Nick. What the fuck am I talking about? And you're not Justin either. What the fuck?
I'm counting my tattoos. I don't have enough.
How many Batman 89 tattoos do you have? If it's less than zero...
How could it be less than zero?
I don't know. Just ignore that I said that and just move on. No, instead, we arced Daleb and Can from the Netflix and Swill podcast.
Good old Daleb and Can.
Those are totally real names that are not made up in the least bit.
Am I Daleb or am I Can?
Here, show it to Nick before we start so he can be grossed out.
Understand what there is to be grossed out by. It's chocolate.
No. Just look.
No, look. You can't do it in the bowl.
How are you supposed to see it if I don't tip it over, Chris? It's gross. It looks like diarrhea.
Is it margarine and the brown sugar Splenda blend again?
Then you go,
It doesn't matter how I eat it. It tastes like crap. No, I don't want it. I don't want it. Get it away from me. It smells. It smells
like,
bad.
It hurts.
No, it smells like shit. You didn't eat any dinner, did you?
I did.
Oh my gosh,
you're about to eat her dinner right now.
She's like 6 years old, Chrissy. Go eat your fudge somewhere.
Bye.
Don't eat it next to me. Jeez.
Because when she was a kid, her fudge was made out of actual ingredients like butter. Not things like margarine and Splenda.
She's up there stirring it angrily now.
The reason why Snoke was around was to give rise to Kylo Ren's character, who...
Listen, Loisos, every single Star Wars movie that has ever come out, every movie has fully fleshed out every single character that's ever been in it. Every single time, without exception. You can't tell me otherwise, so don't even try. So, Bulba, we got that full backstory in Phantom Menace. Remember that? Like, 30 minutes? Like, how his wife and his kids died and shit before he became a podracer? He was a heroin junkie?
When Return of the Jedi was first released, did people complain about the Emperor and the fact that he just appears out of nowhere and he just dies and we don't even get to know where he came from or who he is?
I, for one, am still waiting for, like, our Disney Admiral Piet spinoff. Like, I really want to know, like, where Admiral Piet came from in the Empire.
I want a Salacious Crumb Star Wars story.
Yeah, just let us know your favorite Bronson film and maybe we'll pick one out for you. Just let us know.
Yeah, let Justin know. I'm not doing that shit.
Somebody will send me a message and be like, oh man, do you remember this part in Death Wish 2 when he does this and he does this? And I'll be like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, Justin. He's getting mad. I feel
one of these days, I think if the first one I would have you watch, I know if you haven't seen Once Upon a Time in the West, you have to watch that one because that's an utter classic. that's one that you just have to see.
I described the camera movements to someone as the camera being on the end of a pendulum, spinning around and rocking back and forth. It's nauseating. You can't even see what the fuck's going on half the time. It's insane. It's so, so badly made. So for every good decision that was made for this film, 1,000 bad ones were made right along with it. And while you can take and look at like the makeup on the Baba Yaga character, which I agree was great practical makeup, and I loved the way that character twisted and snapped and contorted and stuff like that. It was really creepy. But then ultimately, it's meaningless to the film because it doesn't even need to be in it in the first place. And that's...
Nick, you had mentioned...
That's ultimately the biggest problem with Hellboy to me. No matter how well-intentioned some of those little moments are, and no matter how good some of those little pieces were by that individual artist that turned in that great job, you took a pretty gold nugget and then you tossed it into a lake of shit and it sank straight to the bottom.
All right, so the weekly question in regards to who you would pick one wrestler versus the other.
I should get some JR up on the soundboard. I really should.
Fucking JR is the man, dude. I love some JR. All right, this shouldn't be too difficult for you because this match has happened a number of times. But depends on taste, depends on who you like more as a wrestler. The Undertaker or Shawn Michaels?
The Big Boss Man.
That, no, you can't do that. That's not one of the options.
I mean, man, talk about iconic. That was the first ever Hell in a Cell.
That's right.
When Kane showed up for the first time, that was when Kane, Mayor Kane, who, man, I wish I lived in Knox County, Tennessee.
Yeah, dude's a fucking mayor now, dude. Yeah.
I fucking crazy. Love him because he's so politically aligned with me. It's kind of it's really scary because he's like super libertarian. I love him. I fucking love Kane. But no, Shawn Michaels, tune up that fucking band. Get that sweet chin music in there. Mm.
That super kick. Yeah, man. I mean,
yeah, they have had some classic fucking feuds too. But yeah, no, that was, oh man, I still remember that Hell in a Cell match too, because that was back when I used to watch pay-per-views. Like, I used to get every pay-per-view every fucking month, so that was like back in that era that I watched that shit live.
Me too, man. And that was such a good match
because like they tease like Paul Bearer, but he would come out and he would tease him and he would tease him with all this different stuff, and Kane is coming and whatnot, and nobody had ever seen him, nobody ever knew anything about him.
Oh dude, I remember the first time.
Yeah,
and I didn't realize this. I did a little bit of researching many years later that Jim Cornette actually came up with the idea for Kane in a nutshell and based him on Michael Myers, which is his favorite horror icon.
Who?
You know, like, what?
Who?
Michael Myers.
Is that some guy from something I should be aware of?
I'll stab you to death on Halloween, okay? Is that what you want me to do? No, but the idea behind that character is so awesome because throughout the years, like, they had to keep coming up with heels to fight the Undertaker, and then when they'd run their course, you'd be like, who the hell's gonna have him fight? You know, and it's funny because even still to this day, they still have him fighting somebody at least once a year at WrestleMania or whatever. Yeah. But it's like,
I heard that match was actually good, even though it was like that no audience WrestleMania thing. I heard that, who was it? AJ Styles?
I haven't watched it.
I was interested in watching it. I heard it was good.
But
I heard WrestleMania like as a whole was really good. Like I heard it was actually like, you know, everybody was shitting on the idea of them doing it on an audience and over a whole weekend, like over 2 days. But like, I mean, aside from everybody said the Goldberg match was terrible, but of course the Goldberg match was terrible because, listen, people, Goldberg was never good back when Goldberg was good.
Goldberg was an attraction.
He was
Goldberg
an attraction.
Goldberg was something to watch because he would spear you and jackhammer you.
You wanted to see him come out and do like a minute and a half squash match against some WCW mid-carder and then eventually some WCW top-carder. You wanted to see him do a squash match, but Goldberg has never and will never be a mat technician where he could have like a long-lasting wrestling match or anything like that. And now that he's gotten old, like, dude still looks good, but like his body's just wrecked. Like he can't even do the stuff he used to do anymore. So it's just not entertaining anymore. I'm sorry. No, like, I loved Goldberg back in the day. Like, I love Bill Goldberg, like, as a personality.
I had a Goldberg fucking action figure, okay? Yeah. So, like, that's how much it was a big deal. You liked him because It was a presence. You liked seeing him come out to the fucking ring with the fireworks and him doing his, you know.
Yeah, the thing where he would breathe the smoke in the fireworks and stuff.
Yeah, and he would do his warm-up.
They follow him from the security would lead him out from the locker room and all that different stuff. And it was we got into this discussion somewhere. I can't remember where, but it was also Goldberg was the only good thing about WCW at the time. Like, they didn't really have anything else really great going for them. They had a lot of talent.
Yeah,
they had a lot of
it was after
talent.
NWO kind of it was starting to run its course and they had already done as much as they possibly could with it. And that was at the point when basically TNT told Eric Bischoff, you can't have people hitting each other with bats. You can't have it as violent. Where at the time Raw was amping things up. So WCW was basically just like, oh, we have to like water this down. They brought Goldberg in and then totally, you know, basically just reinvigorated what they had already started with NWO and then had him just like basically taking out another dude each week. Like you said, you know, mid-carders, jobbers, everything.
Listen, I don't
and
care.
Then
it was still funny as hell because he was undefeated. That was his whole thing. The streak.
And,
it was
and then remember how they beat him?
Fucking Scott Hall hit him with that fucking cattle prod.
Fucking prod. A fucking cattle prod, dude. That was their smart idea. Let's take him out with a cattle prod. That's the only way to take this beast down.
And the people, no, like, you know, there's so much to talk about with WCW, but like, I always like,
dude, like I
it's
said
a shitty
to you.
Thing to like, not only that, but like when you think of things like the finger poke of doom, like which it was hilarious to watch. And it's still hilarious to watch that like they ran an actual angle like that and kind of got the NWO back together. Cause that was when the NWO was all broken apart. And then Hogan comes in and just pokes Nash in the chest. And he flats out. Fucking Matt and Hogan pins him, but I mean that was what WCW tried to rely on in those days because they were faltering bad and they were hemorrhaging money bad, so they tried to rely on whatever gimmick they could to try to possibly get people to tune back in. It was
ladies and gentlemen, sad
stuff, man.
We're talking wrestling. I even said it over in the Hopesters Dumpster, our fan group. I said, is this going to lead to like a side wrestling thing where we talk wrestling? I don't mind because
it's called the pre-roll every single week, as long as it's free. And then when it goes back to Patreon only, $1 a month, you get wrestling talk in the pre-roll probably every single fucking week.
But between the two, though,
and
to make it clear,
and he will cry and be
well,
upset.
He'll listen and not know who any of these people are. But to be clear, so between Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, you picked Shawn Michaels. The boy toy.
HBK.
HBK, baby. Which, I don't know which version you prefer. Pre-DX, DX, or post, I'm now a god lover, Shawn Michaels.
See, I'm DX Shawn Michaels. 100%. Because we talked about it when we talked about the way we used to channel flip between Nitro and Raw all the time. When DX first formed, I mean, this was before the Montreal Screwjob. And everything. So when DX first formed, you had Rick Rude, you had Triple H, you had China, and you had Shawn Michaels.
That's right.
I mean, you know my sense of humor. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. You know my sense of humor. It's extremely juvenile. It's all dick jokes. And DX was coming out every fucking week. Like, I just saw a picture. Somebody posted a GIF of it. Remember that one episode of Raw? They sat on the entrance ramp. Like, Shawn Michaels is holding the big sign that says, I'd rather be in China and shit.
Yeah. Like, and they're like, and they're targeting towards her.
Yeah, like that, dude. That's my sense of humor. So like, when DX became a thing, like that was like, it's like it was the stable made for me in wrestling, and I was just like, this is amazing, and I love it.
Well, dude, little did we know
That was when I stopped watching Nitro and flipping back to Raw. That was when I started watching Raw and flipping back to Nitro on commercial breaks.
Yeah, because you never knew, and little did we know until we found out now. I didn't even know this until I was an adult, like recently. The past couple of years, that they were literally doing whatever they wanted. Like, after they would do what they did on air, Vince would come out and fucking ream them and like basically like freak out. But then the ratings would go up, so he'd be like, okay, whatever, don't do that again, but do it again.
Anything either, because Shawn Michaels was easily the most popular wrestler
at the time,
or one of the most popular wrestlers in the company. He was the champion.
He was after Brett left. He was the basically their main star. And then after DX hit really big as it did, it was their answer to the NWO.
And even
when
Shawn Michaels left, because Shawn Michaels had a really bad back, like a very, very, very bad back. So he left.
Yeah, he left for a while. And then Triple H took over.
He lost
to
Stone Cold at WrestleMania 14. I want to say it's weird that I just remember these numbers and stuff, but. He lost to Stone Cold because that was when Mike Tyson was the special guest referee or whatever. And then they brought in Badass Billy Gunn and the Road Dogg and X-Pog
yep.
and shit. And they brought in that new iteration of DX. I fucking loved that iteration of DX. That iteration of DX was awesome.
Well, that iteration is basically what put Triple H over. Like, Triple H wouldn't even have been put over like, as much
shit. Like, dude, like remember when Sergeant Slaughter was the commissioner and they brought those face shields out with the windshield wipers on them?
Because he spit all the time?
It's my sense of humor. That's 100% my sense of humor. So, like, anything is... And I liked it when they brought DX back. And I think it was funny because they would keep Sean in his, you know, Christian-loving whatever. So he didn't want to take part in the shenanigans. So he would, like, Hunter would have, like, distract him and, like, have him turn his back. And then Hunter would fucking have some kind of juvenile antics behind Sean's back while he had his back turned or something like that. Like, even when they brought DX back, it was fucking... It was still gold, because those two together are just solid gold.
Dude. 100%, dude. So, yeah. So there it is right there. Between The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. And, hey, I'm sure we'll have a conversation at some point about Taker, because he is someone that you have to talk about, because he is probably... Yeah. I mean, he's a legend. He's still working today. And this guy really started his major run in, like, 91. And he's still today doing headlining WrestleManias. It's insane. So there
it's
it is.
Craziness. It's craziness, man.
Bitches can't get enough of my stuff.
I'm going to pee.
And as Justin goes to pee, ladies and gentlemen, we do want to thank you again for listening to the pre-roll. Again, if you know, we've got tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of other pre-roll content for $1 a month. Head over to Patreon. You can subscribe. You can get access to more stuff, and then there are different rewards for different tiers, like Nick's watch list. Julio, I promise that Honeyland review is coming. And $5 level and above, you get EFG Nick and I with Paul from the Countdown talking about my favorite movies of all time. And it's really, really, really fun. So head over there and do that. Don't forget, you can make early donations right now at livestreamforthecure.com if you are so inclined. Head over there, make an early donation. We would really, really, really appreciate it. Anything we can do to pad out that number, because we got to hit $10,000 this year. I still really, really am confident that with a hard enough push, we could do it. We definitely could hit $10,000, I believe. But we're going to need a lot more legwork, especially in lieu of Corona and everything. We're going to need a lot of hard work from everybody to get there. So please do us a favor, help share it, play the promo if you're a podcaster, do whatever you can to help raise awareness about the event. We are going to be back on the main show for hashtag Canon Quarantine. We are reviewing Sylvester Stallone's Cobra, the highest grossing Canon film of all time, and it's going to be a fun conversation. So thank you so much for listening, and there's no better way to play out, ladies and gentlemen.
Bitches can't get enough of my stuff.